I'm going to talk about the impact of home visiting programs on HIV risk factors among AIDS-affected youth in South Africa. Wave if you can't hear me. Sometimes I'm too short for these mics. I have no disclosures. Clearly, you know, HIV among youth is a major issue. They account for half of all new infections, and in South Africa, this translates into an HIV prevalence of about 5% among young men and 14% among young women. But what's frightening is that there is evidence emerging that children who have been affected by AIDS, sometimes also called orphans and vulnerable children, or OVC, are seeing even a higher rates of HIV. So there's evidence that orphaned youth are sexually debuting at earlier ages, which we know is linked to later risky behavior and HIV infection in the general population. They're more likely to engage in high-risk behaviors and have multiple partners. And there's fairly good evidence in South Africa and Zimbabwe that they're about two times as likely to be HIV positive compared to their non-orphaned peers. Well, we don't have biological data in other countries on other populations of AIDS-affected children, such as those living with and frequently caring for sick parents. There is evidence that this pattern may be there as well. So, for example, children who are living with AIDS-sick parents are much more likely to be sexually exploited. And when one parent has died from AIDS and they are now caring for the second parent, they're about six times more likely to engage in transactional sex. So there's good reason to be worried about HIV prevention and transmission in this population. So to reduce HIV risk, clearly we need to address the unique vulnerabilities of adolescent orphans and vulnerable children. And they have a number of risk factors that are present in the general population, but much more prevalent among this group. So they are less likely to be in school where the HIV education is occurring in South Africa. I think another presenter will talk about that a bit. And so there's a lack of HIV knowledge, very basic knowledge among this group, despite their familial history with HIV and AIDS. They suffer from increased risk of, you know, depression, anxiety, PTSD, and we know depression in the general population is linked to high-risk sexual behavior. We also know that in the orphaned population, it's been shown to be a mediator between orphanhood and sexual risk behavior. And I put impoverishment up here, and while there I know is some debate about the role of poverty in HIV risk, I put it here because in this population, we're seeing high levels of transactional sex, and also because other interventions that have focused on economic security have actually shown reductions in sexual risk in this population. So that says we perhaps should also be focusing on their economic security. And today I'm going to talk about home visiting as an approach to meet some of these needs. And I'm focusing here first because home visiting is just one of the most common programs implemented throughout sub-Saharan Africa to address a wide range of needs for AIDS-affected children. So these are mostly endogenous responses, community-owned or at least community-based, where neighbors, volunteers will identify vulnerable households in their community. They will build these relationships of trust, and they will deliver services during regular home visits. It's a very family-centered approach. They deal not only with the child, but with their siblings and their caregivers, trying to address the multiple levels of problems and relationships within the context of the family. And they deliver a wide range of services, everything from economic strengthening to emotional support, and touch on those risk factors that I just mentioned. And while it's a very common approach, I mean, there are thousands of programs registered just in South Africa as home visiting programs for this population with the government, there's huge variability in how they're implemented. So on one end, we have these, you know, fairly traditional community-based organizations that were started by lay volunteers, well-meaning, usually women in their communities visiting neighbors. They don't have any training. They aren't receiving compensation. They make these visits when they can in a very unstructured way. On the other side, we have highly structured programs that have been adopted by NGOs that have paraprofessional staff, minimum education. They receive 200 hours of classroom and practice training, compensation, they're in stable employment, a very, very different kind of program, and they're all lumped together as home visiting. So what we wanted to know was generally what impact does home visiting have on HIV risk factors, but more specifically, can we tease apart the impact of these high-quality, almost considered gold standard programs in South Africa compared to those that are volunteer-driven? And we asked about 30 different community sites, half of whom really used this paraprofessional model and half of whom were volunteer-driven, to recruit new kids into their program. And we interviewed about 1,800 kids in a baseline survey, as well as their caregivers, as they were enrolled into these programs. They received 2 years of services under these programs. And again, it depended on which community they lived in. We didn't randomize. And we followed them up in 2012, both the same kids and their caregivers. And this was, you know, a representative population. These were kids who were mostly orphans. They were living with chronically ill caregivers. Even more were living with chronically ill members of their families. And we had fairly good follow-up for a rural region of South Africa with no addresses and a very mobile population. We had about 80% follow-up, so I'm going to present data on about 1,500 kids. And I'm going to present some descriptive analyses, but also these are based, my findings on the multi-level analyses that adjust for a number of confounders and properly account for household clustering. So turning to the findings, first of all, we found when we asked the caregivers and children whether they had received services and the quality of those services, there was a huge difference between the paraprofessional programs and the volunteer-driven programs. Most of the kids in the volunteer-driven programs fell right out of the program right after enrollment. So two-thirds of them never even had a home visit after enrollment. So this in some ways represents an unexposed group. It's intentioned to treat some are exposed, but very few. We do see better enrollment and continuation of services in the paraprofessional group. About 75% were ever visited. But again, it's not universal. Kids are falling through the cracks almost immediately after enrollment. And this pattern continues when we compare across different indicators of quality, visit intensity and frequency, duration, the kinds of services that are provided within each visit. But when we actually turn to look at outcomes, we don't see a huge difference between these two groups, unfortunately. So while 75% reported discussing HIV risk prevention with their home visitor, and these are home visitors in the paraprofessional programs that are trained to impart HIV prevention messages to both kids and caregivers, we don't see any meaningful change over time or between programs in these populations. So there are incredibly low levels of just basic HIV knowledge. I mean, this was an indicator of whether you know about HIV, you know it's preventable, and you can identify three, you know, very basic myths. And we see incredibly low levels of knowledge and no change in adjusted models. The same with depression. We see about a third of our population was registering clinical symptomology, and yet we see no change over the 2 years. We see no change in those who receive paraprofessional versus volunteer-driven services. We do start to see some differences emerge when we look at economic security indicators. So there was a greater gain in basic material needs among those served by paraprofessionals. They were more likely to have a pair of shoes, to have a blanket, and a couple outfits that weren't school uniforms at follow-up. And we see the same pattern when we turn to social grants. So in South Africa, there's a great system of social protection. Child support grants are there for any child living in poverty. They require a little bit of paperwork, and you get a little bit of money. There are foster care grants that require a lot more paperwork. You have to go to court, be appointed. You know, it's intimidating to these rural caregivers. And one of the things that the home visitors are charged with doing is going in and helping them obtain documents, helping them file applications, see this process through. And we are getting quality indicators that this is happening within home visits. And we also see that they are moving up to child support grants, and when they have those, to the even higher foster care grant, and that this is happening three times as often within the paraprofessional group as compared to the volunteer-led group. And finally, I just want to show one indicator of actual sexual behavior. And here, this is a group, we measured sexual behavior at 12 and above. And this is a group that is aging over 2 years, and these are raw numbers. So we would expect sexual debut to go up, and it does. But unfortunately, it went up by about the same amount in both the paraprofessional and the volunteer, almost non-exposed group. So we're really not seeing any impact on sexual behavior or other sexual risk that I don't have time to show. So in summary, there isn't a lot of evidence that home visiting is a good strategy despite its popularity and despite it being in so many communities and serving so many kids. It's really just not having an impact on anything but minimal indicators of economic security. It's not having an impact on HIV knowledge, psychosocial distress, or sexual debut. And my conclusion from this is we have to start moving away from some of these really generalized, though popular, models of serving HIV-affected children to much more specific programming. And there's still certainly a role for the home visiting programs that are established. They have these relationships of trust with the family, and we should maximize that by continuing to have them seek out the vulnerable families to build those relationships, to do the in-home assessments. But then there's a need for them to triage to specialized programming. And that's going to really require some investment to develop theory-driven, evidence-based programming, to create a staff that has that specialized program skill, and to be able to deliver those at such a wide level throughout South Africa. But we're testing two of those right now. One is called Vuchilo. It's an HIV prevention intervention that is designed specifically for HIV-affected children. The other is a depression intervention. They're both about 16 weeks long. And these are interventions that the children are targeted for, and then they receive outside the home. So hopefully next year we'll have some more encouraging findings to share about what potentially works to reduce HIV risk among this population. Thank you. Pardon? Huh? All right. Well, I just showed you sexual debut. We also have we have a lot of variables on efficacy and knowledge, because a lot of this population is too young to, as I showed, debut, and we want to be able to capture that in a young population. But we also have a lot of indicators on condom use and multiple partnerships, the age of their partner, the age they sexually debuted, and some others.